We can live it out. So Romans chapter 12, if you have it, would you say, I've got it? All right, that's great. And we have the words on the screen. If you'd like to join us, we encourage you. Let's confess it. Again, our confidence in the Lord, not in our ability, but let's say it like we mean it. Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm holding in my hand a newsletter from New Life Outreach International. Pastors Victor and Carmen Torres been ministering over in the Richmond area for over 40 years, ministering to those who are dealing with life-controlling substance. If you know Pastor Victor's testimony, he was a heroin user up on the streets of New York. God saved him, delivered him, and called him into the ministry, and he's serving the Lord there. And I wanted to share a part of a testimony from a brother named Andrake, and he said about a year ago, well, he asked this question: have you ever looked in the mirror and hardly recognized the person staring back at you? And he said that's how he, where he found himself a year ago, looking in a mirror in an orange jumpsuit sitting in the jail. And this is his testimony. He says, I look at my reflection now and I see I've grown spiritually and mentally. I've learned things about myself I really didn't notice before. Maybe I didn't want to see. That's being honest right there, isn't it? He says, maybe I didn't want to see, but the truth sets us free. So I'm committed to taking a hard look at my own behavior and character. Wow. See, that's when we really want to change. Because it's so easy to point the finger. It's so easy to come up with blame with every, blame everyone else for why I'm doing what I'm doing, make excuses for why I am like I am. Remember what Jesus said though? Before we try to get that log out of somebody or a plank splinter out of someone else's eye, let's first get that big log out of our own eye. So he says, I'm committed to taking a hard look at my own behavior and character. I give all the glory to God for what he has done and continues to do in my life. If you knew me in the past, you might say I'm unrecognizable now. This is what hope looks like. Amen. This is what hope looks like. And I love that. Let me read this scripture here, because in New Life, he discovered a powerful truth that we'll see this morning. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world. In other words, this world system. But be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Pastor Victor, there at New Life, says this, that those who come to the program, men, women, he says they learn to eliminate faulty thinking that leads to unhealthy choices. They learn to eliminate faulty thinking that leads to unhealthy choices. And so just based on this scripture, Romans 12, 2, I like to make it personal. So here's the message this morning. I'm renewing my mind. I'm renewing my mind. This is a process that is not just once in an occasional event. It's a continual process once we come to know the Lord. I'm renewing my mind. So when God's Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin and draws us to the truth that Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus is the sinless, eternal, crucified, and risen Lord. If that's not your Jesus, you got the wrong Jesus. Jesus is the eternal, sinless, crucified, and risen Lord. He is the Son of God. So once we come to believe in our heart in Jesus as Lord, then we're forgiven of all sin. We are made righteous in the sight of God, and we are indwelt by God's Holy Spirit. But then, brothers and sisters, we are responsible to grow in Christ's likeness. We are responsible. And part, a very important part of that growth in Christ-likeness is renewing our minds. So just like Pastor Victor talking about the people there, how many of us here this morning know you don't have to be dealing with life-controlling substance to need the renewing of your mind? None of us have arrived, and we all can use that growth in Christ's likeness for sure. I'm renewing my mind. Would you say it with me? I'm renewing my mind. First step in renewing our mind is to back up into verse 1. So you get the context. Check this out, okay? Chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, I'm pleading with you, therefore, my brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God. See, he just finished up. I know it's a letter. Now, it's written in chapters and verses. Thank God it makes it easier to find. But he was just talking about the great mercy of God, of how great God's mercy is, that even when we were deserving of hell, we were not deserving of God's goodness and salvation and freedom and deliverance. God, in his mercy, offered it to us anyway. Jesus suffered and died on the cross to pay for our sins so that we don't have to pay for them. We can know God and we can have his Holy Spirit with us every moment of this life, and we can be with him forever when this body quits working. Thank God. And he says, the right response to God's mercy is what I'm pleading with you for. So he says, I'm pleading with you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies, present your body, offer your body, yield your body. The first step in renewing our mind is not with the mind. The first step is submitting our heart and life completely to God. Because if we're unsurrendered to God, do we really think we're going to be faithful in renewing our minds? Notice, again, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, that means set apart for God. How many of you want anyone else using your toothbrush? Let me see your hands. Go ahead and raise them. Because that's sanctified. What that means is set apart. It's for your teeth. It's for your mouth, your gum, your tongue. That's you. And you don't want someone else using your toothbrush. And when God says we're holy, that means we're his. He don't want to share us with the devil. He doesn't want to share us with the world system. We belong to God. All right? Would you say, I'm God's toothbrush? No, don't say that. I'm holy. Present your bodies holy, acceptable to God. It's just your reasonable service. It makes sense. It's our spiritual worship, as it's also translated, to just offer ourselves to God. Because his will is good. It is acceptable and perfect. So he says, first, yield yourself to God. Then, verse 2, and do not be conformed. In other words, don't copy. In fact, let me read that verse to you in the New Living Translation. We can put it on the screen. New Living Translation, Romans 12, 2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. That's not, you know, speaking of, you know, can I wear jeans or can I put on makeup? Or it's more dealing with the heart. It's dealing with what's on the inside. And, of course, that comes out. But don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So the first step in renewing our mind is really to offer ourselves completely to God. There are three characteristics of this world system, and the scripture calls them lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We may just summarize it like this. Idolatry, immorality, and pride. Idolatry, which would cover greed, and you know, our hearts can be such idol-making factories, and immorality of all kinds, and pride, maybe the most subtle and dangerous of all. But he says, don't live that way. Don't copy the idolatry, immorality, and pride of the world. Offer your body as a living sacrifice to God, and then start renewing your mind, and just renew your mind. If we do the renewing of the mind part, the Holy Spirit will take care of the transforming part, and we'll grow more in Christ's likeness. I want to share two of just the many blessings of renewing our minds here this morning, but please think about this. What is one area? We might have more than, well, I'll say we probably do have more than one, where we need to grow in Christ's likeness. But what is one area? Not somebody else telling you, between you and God's Holy Spirit, What is one area where you would like to grow in Christ-likeness right now? If you just think about the fruit of the Spirit, love. Well, couldn't we all grow in love? So growing in love, maybe growing in perseverance. You know, sometimes we're all tempted to quit. But sometimes the first sign of opposition, the first difficulty, the first time something doesn't go my way, I just quit too easy. So I need to grow in perseverance in Christ-likeness. Maybe for someone else, another area might just be growing in peace, growing in trust. I said, Lord, I do trust you. I trust you with my soul, but I want to trust you with my life. I want to trust you with my future. I want to trust you with my finances. I want to trust you with my friends. So to grow in trust, it's an area we can grow in Christ-likeness. Maybe for someone else, it might be to grow in self-control. That's fruit of the Spirit. Say, man, I've been overdoing this, overdoing that, overdoing, and I've let my flesh kind of take control here. Lord, I want to grow in self-control. So whatever that area is, then we're going to make this practical today and live it out of how we can grow in Christ-likeness. Two blessings that I want to share with you here this morning in the time that we have. I'm renewing my mind, first of all, for God's peace. I'm renewing my mind for God's peace. And we'll look at this one. We'll look at perspective, God's peace, God's perspective, and then close with just making it real practical how to live it out. All right, Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. I've come to appreciate the treasure of peace over the years in my life. As honest as I know my heart before God, I want my needs met like anyone else. But I really believe that I can say that I treasure God's peace more than money, more than possessions or anything of this. Man, I need God's peace. I don't want to live without God's peace in my heart and mind. Notice what it says here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh, that means the old way of living, not just your body, but like sinful ways. Those who live according to the flesh, notice, set their minds. Would you say set their minds? Set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, and it's not worded in this translation, some others have it, but it says set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So if we want to walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit, we must set our minds on the right things, spiritual things. And then if we do that, verse 6 says, for to be carnally or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life and peace. Would you say, I'm renewing my mind? I'm renewing my mind. See, Pastor Victor in the same testimony letter said, perfect peace demands you invest yourself in beneficial activities that will make your soul and spirit strong. So they come to realize the scriptural truth that there's always something to weaken us, always something to tempt us, always something to tear us down. And if we really want God's peace, then we'll do what the scripture tells us to do. We will invest the time and the effort to renew our minds with the truth of God's word. I looked up this word. I don't remember if I ever have done this before or not in the years. But in Romans chapter 8, verse 5 there, where it says the things, set their mind on the things of the Spirit, it's the Greek word logos. How many of you are familiar with the scripture in John chapter 1 where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh? That word, word is the same Greek word logos. So set their minds on the Word of the Spirit. Set their minds on the logos. Remember, the Word of God refers to both Jesus and the Bible. It's the Son and the Scripture. So we get our mind focused on Jesus. We renew our minds with the things of the Spirit. We want the peace. God says, if you do this, I'll provide the peace. So I'm renewing my mind. I'm renewing my mind. And then just God's peace, a precious treasure. So our thoughts and our words can either hurt us or they can help us. So if I'm continually thinking on the problem and I'm continually confessing the problem, then the problem is going to grow stronger in my own heart. That pattern is going to get stronger. The problem is going to get bigger. I'm confessing it. I'm thinking on it. But the opposite is also true. If I will think on the promises of God and I will confess the promises of God, it will invite God's peace and it will strengthen my spirit. It will strengthen our soul. It's how we renew our minds and we grow in Christ's likeness, because when it really comes down to it, it's ultimately all about staying in close fellowship with the Lord and Him living His life in us and through us. That's what it is to grow in Christ's likeness, is staying in close fellowship with Him. So if I'm thinking on that word and I'm confessing that word, it will help me, first of all, to be obedient to the word, and then God produces the blessings for the obedience. Would you say, I'm renewing my mind? I'm renewing my mind. We all want the blessings and the results, but let's do our part to get there. Renewing my mind, getting God's word in me. So I'm renewing my mind because I want God's peace. And, you know, Joyce Meyer, I shared this with you last week. She said, we can continue to invest in our misery, or we can begin to invest in our healing. So when we're in close fellowship with the Lord and we're growing in Christ's likeness, we will grow in peace. We'll grow in wholeness and wellness. Let me ask you this. Is Jesus sitting on His throne this morning, is the Father on His throne, worried to no end and just in a panic and all anxious, like, just, I don't know what in the world I'm going to do. Does that describe them? Not at all. And see, the more we grow in Christ's likeness, the more we will grow in that type of stability, because not that we've arrived, but that our trust is growing in Him, and we're growing, and we're just knowing that He's got, ultimately, His will is going to prevail, and we just want to make sure we're going to be in His will. I'm renewing my mind, submitting myself to Him. So growing in Christ's likeness, first of all, because I want God's peace, and then second, because I need God's perspective. God's peace and God's perspective. This is so important, because someone said our perception is our reality. Our perception is our reality. It doesn't matter really whether it is actually true or not. If we believe it's true, it's how we live. So if I believe that I'll never change, that's how I'm going to live. If I believe that, well, I'm stupid, I'll never mount anything, I'm just going to be, you know, my family did this, and that's how, well, I'm, if I believe that in my heart, I confess it with my mouth, it's going to strengthen that pattern, and we will establish ourselves in that way, but that doesn't have to be. Thank God we can grow in Christ's likeness. Thank God our past, our history doesn't have to be our destiny. Thank God we can renew our minds, and we can walk in the blessing and the grace and favor and fullness of God. But we just have to do our part. So our perspective is our reality. Lord, help us to see clearly. That's what the scripture says in Romans 8 and verse 18. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18 says this: for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We would not know this truth. We would not know this reality outside of the Word of God. Because all we would just base it on what we see, what we think, what we feel, and all right here, and we wouldn't know that we've got a glorious future coming that's waiting on us. Verse 28 says this, Romans 8, 28. And we know that, how many? All things work together for good. It did not say all things are good. It just says God is so great that we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. That's truth. That's reality. And we want to live our lives by God's perspective, because God's perspective will lead us to God's peace. If I really have the perspective of God, so if He's not given over to anxiety and worry and fear, then that'll help me not to be dominated. Yes, I'm going to feel it. I'm human. I'm going to experience it, but I don't have to be controlled by it. That's the key. I'm renewing my mind. It's a process. And then our last few verses here of that chapter, verse 37, Romans 8, 37, says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. More than conquerors. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is so important. It is so important for us to develop a biblical and a scriptural worldview so that we live according to God's word and God's truth and not by everything else in this world system. We have to develop that. We're not born with a biblical worldview. We're not born with a scriptural worldview, but we need God's view. We need God's perspective of life. We need God's perspective of marriage, God's perspective of family, of friends, of money, of ministry, of deliverance, of healing. We need God's perspective. So we've got to renew our minds in order to live that out. We've got to embrace that perspective. For years, some of you are just maybe listening to a CD and you've never seen me, I wear glasses. I wear corrective lenses. And I remember having them in first grade, but I didn't like wearing them for some reason. I don't know if somebody called me four eyes I don't know what happened, but I didn't like how I looked. And I pulled those glasses out yesterday, or maybe it was Friday, and I thought about bringing them. I did like the little case. They gave me a little kid case, and it had like an Indian. And you know how sometimes when you move things and the reflection, it changes, they look like they're moving? It was like a little Indian, and you could move the little eyeglass case, and he would shoot an arrow. You move it up or down, he would shoot an arrow. And so I liked the case. I didn't like the glasses. And I still have on the inside of the case, room 102, Ms. Jones. That was my first grade teacher. My mom had written in there. And I thought about bringing them, and when I opened the case, somehow, I don't know what happened to them, but they got crushed. They were split in half. One lens was completely broken out. One piece was hardy. I said, wow, I'd saved these things for 50 years, and now somehow they were broken. I had them in my file cabinet with paper. I don't know how. Somehow, something got on them and crushed them. But because I didn't like the glasses, I quit wearing them. And I had some issues with my eyes when I was a child, and when I was like first grader, I had a couple eye surgeries that I had to stay overnight in hospital. And I lived like I didn't need corrective lenses for many years. I forgot that I wore glasses when I was a kid. See, I'm nearsighted. And I didn't think I needed them because I could look in the little machine and see the dot on the table or whatever when I was a kid, all those years in school, growing up, and they say, oh, your eyes are fine. But if you put me in the back of the room and said, read that on the chalkboard, I couldn't have seen it. I used to play a little softball. I played in the infield because I thought I couldn't judge the ball from the outfield. I couldn't see it. I couldn't see the ball. And somehow one day, Kim and I were dating. I think we were still dating. And we scheduled an eye appointment. I don't even know why. She wanted to, I think. It turned out she didn't need glasses, and I found out I did. I had 20/200 vision in one eye and 20/400 in the other. And when I got my glasses, I was like, wow, I can see. I can read the street sign at night. It's raining. I can still read. And it was like a whole new world. And I was thinking about that this week, thinking about this message. And I remembered that in the scripture, you know, Peter wrote about being nearsighted spiritually and forgetting that we need corrective lenses. Let me read it to you in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, the Bible says this, beginning in verse 8. 2 Peter 1:8 says, for if these things are yours, he talked about in the first few verses of how we grow in Christ's likeness. And he says, if you're growing in Christ's likeness, if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of God. That's really what it is to grow in Christ's likeness, is to get to know him better and to grow more like him. Verse 9, for he who lacks these things is, notice it, short-sighted, nearsighted, spiritual astigmatism. He who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Isn't that a powerful statement that someone who has been forgiven can actually forget in a sense? Now, if I were to talk about it, of course, I remembered it, but I didn't live my daily life like I needed corrective lenses. And we can begin to live our daily lives. If we're not renewing our mind and growing in Christ's likeness, we can begin to live our daily lives like we're not even forgiven. And our sins have been cleansed. So he goes on, and that's why he says in verse 10, he says, therefore, brethren, because of that, be even more diligent. Would you say more diligent? To make your call and election sure. For if these things, if you do these things, you will never stumble. You won't fall away from the Lord. And so an abundant entrance will be supplied to you into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to close with this. Ephesians chapter 4. If you have your Bible, would you turn there with me? Ephesians chapter 4. We need the corrective lenses of God's Word, of Scripture, in order to renew our minds. Let's not think that we know everything we need to know and that we've arrived in Christ-likeness and we don't need to be diligent about renewing our minds. Let me ask you this. What do you base your daily decisions on? What do you base your daily decisions on? Your finances, your friendships, your family, your marriage, your relationships, your job, your education, where are you going to college? All of these, how do you base those daily decisions? Do you just base them on your past? Well, this is what I was taught growing up. That may be fine. Do you base them on your emotions? Well, I just feel like I want to do this or I want to do that. Again, that can have its place. Are you just basing them on maybe what you're thinking is? Maybe you're basing them on hurts. Some of our past experiences are so painful and hurtful that it's guiding us in our decisions, and we don't realize the degree of which it's influencing us. That's why I said, thank God we can be healed. We can grow. We don't have to allow those past things to dictate how we live today, but we've got to renew our minds so that God transforms us by His Spirit. I'm renewing my mind. So how are you making your daily decisions? All of those factors or by the revealed Word of God? We need God's perspective to know what God's will is for us. Remember, be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, God's will for you. Ephesians chapter 4. He said, Brother Rocky, that's fine. I'm renewing my mind. I don't even know how to renew my mind. Here it is right here, very practical. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, talking about unbelievers, not ethnicity, in the futility of their mind. Some translations say, thinking worthless thoughts. Don't live thinking worthless thoughts. Then he goes on, and if you drop down to verse 20, verse 20 says, that's not how you've learned Christ. You didn't learn Him that way, if indeed you've heard Him and been taught by Him, because the truth is in Jesus. Now here's renewing the mind. Ready? That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, the old way, the sinful ways, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Here's how you renew your mind. When we recognize something is in error and God's Word says different, we remove that and replace it with truth. Remove and replace. Remove and replace. Remember Karate Kid? Wipe on, wipe off. All right. Remove and replace. That's renewing the mind. Now, this has been a little bit of a challenge to me to get back into it, really pursue it. And there have been different areas over the years. Last week, I started with Romans 12, 21. Now, for me, it helps to write it down. I try to write it down every morning, and then when I'm eating, you know, when I eat throughout the day, I pray for an unreached people group, and I confess that scripture. And then at night, I try to remind myself so that all, you know, through the day, multiple times, I'm renewing my mind. So this past week, what I've been renewing my mind with is, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Write it down, confess it, think about it. Now, y'all can imagine all week long, I've never had any opportunity to put that into practice. Everything just went perfect. Everybody, no. But see, then when you're tempted and somebody's doing you wrong and you want to, I'm going to make them pay. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Put off, put on. Put off, put on. I remember years ago, I'll close with this. Years ago, I started reading about a ministry. It was called Christian Financial Concepts. A brother named Larry Burkett. It's called Crown Ministries now. He's gone on to be with the Lord. His wife still serves with them, I believe. A man named Chuck Bentley. But I started learning some truths of like what the Bible says about money. And he shared that two-thirds of the parables Jesus taught were on money. And I began reading in Proverbs, and Proverbs are like general truths or principles to live by. And the Proverbs talk a lot about money, our mouth, and our morality. So I took an old Bible one time, and I took a yellow highlighter, and it's 31 chapters, so you can read like a chapter a day and read it through in a month. Every verse that dealt with money, I highlighted. And I read the next chapter, and every verse dealt with money, and every verse dealt with money. And because I wanted to learn God's perspective about money and how to handle it. And I remember when we started this church 23 years ago, a truth that I learned back all those years guided us in a decision. When we were going to buy this property, we had saved up 3.5 years by meeting in a school that we could put down on it. And the church we bought this building from was already using a banker. And so we went to them. We just thought, well, maybe we could just, you know, go through them. And he said, and we're still fairly young, you know, at church here. And so he said, well, your people are going to be personally liable for this loan. It's called surety. And I couldn't do that in peace. I just did not have peace about it. And I said, you know what? We can't do that. I can't hold this over people's head and pressure them for money because we've got this debt. So I went to another, the bank we're with now, and I went to them, and they said, you're putting a big enough, my thinking was, you're putting so much money down on it, they want us to miss a payment. They don't get the money and the building and property and everything. And so I made it clear. I said, are you saying that we can borrow this money, but if we didn't have make a payment, we had to somehow foreclose, it's all yours, but nothing's hanging over our head? They said, yes. I said, where do we sign? And thankfully, in 11 months, we paid the property off. But I learned that in that process of renewing my mind about money. And see, we can learn, what does God's word say about me? Does God's word say you're stupid? Does God's word say you'll never change, you'll never amount to anything, you're ugly? No, it doesn't. What does God say about you? Don't settle for anything. Don't worry about what other people say. Yes, it hurts. We acknowledge it. Remove and replace. Get that out. Get that out of your heart, your mind, and replace it with what God says about you. Think on it, confess it, and begin to live it out, and God will bring the transformation. You can change. We can grow in Christ's likeness because God says we can. Would you say, I'm renewing my mind? We can experience the healing of God. We can experience wholeness and wellness in our lives. Come on, let's just be diligent. We're renewing our mind. We're going to do what God tells us to do, and we'll just let God get all the glory. Just like Brother Andre, he encouraged me reading that testimony. I'm so thankful for, I love hearing that. And maybe our transformation may not be quite as dramatic in a year. That's okay. Let's just be faithful. If we do our part, God will do his. I'm renewing my mind, and God will take care of the transformation. Can we stand together as we close in prayer?